let me just go over again some fundamental ideas. That is, remember that a mace or chalakim of a mace, doesn't have to be a whole mace, conveys tuma in three different ways. There is the tuma of maga, of touching. Now touching is very, very, very specific. If a mace touches the outside of my garment, it's not touching me, it's only touching my garment. So maga is, it touches me, or I touch it, that's the same thing. Masa is, I carry it, or I move it. Moving it is a form of masa, even if it's indirect. Even if I move it by a stick, that is called masa. And the third type of tuma is tumas ayel, where I and, well, and tumas ayel in turn has three different types. The most common ayel that we always talk about is, I and the mace are under an ayel, same roof. That's one type of tumas ayel. The second type of tumas ayel is, I am an ayel over the mace. So if there's a mace outside and I bend over, my body is an ohel over the mace, and I become tameh. And a third is, if there's a piece of mace over me, the mace is an ayel over me. All three of them are called tumas ayel. There's an ayel over me in the mace, I am an ayel over the mace, or the mace is an ayel over me. That is called tumas ayel. And in all three of those cases, maga, masa, and the three types of ayel, I become tameh 7 days. Now this is the same for a kohen and non-kohen. The only nafkamina is, a kohen is usher to have that tumah, a Yisrael is mutter to have that tumah, but if he's nichnas to the mikdash, he's chayav koris. Now, with respect to goyim, we have a memra of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, kivrei akum, Einan mitamin biayel. They're not mitamin biayel. Why are they not mitamin biayel? Shenemar zayis hatayra adam ki yamos biayel. So we darshan adam. Atem kuriyim adam. V'yein oivdei kechavim kuriyim adam. So he says the word adam only applies to yidden. It does not apply to goyim. They're not called adam. So there are two questions here. Question number one is, is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's din only negeya ayel, or is it also negeya maga umasa? Question number two is, do we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? So regarding question number one, virtually all the Rishayim, except the Sefer Yireyim, all the Rishayim say that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's dispensation only applies to tumas ayel. It does not apply to maga umasa, which means to say, if a kohen is not allowed to touch the body of a goy, he'll become tameh. It is only tumas ayel that is mutter, according to him. The Yireyim is chayav. The Yireyim says he even matters maga umasa. But whether we paskin like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is really a machlekes the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Ramah actually says a kayin should be machmer on kivrei akum, that kivrei akum are matame b'ayel. The Ramah says miyikar adin it's mutter, but even the Ramah says the chatchila one should be machmer. So it's not a dever prashat a kohen the chatchila could walk into a non-Jewish cemetery, but the Ramah says miyikar adin we would be makel on it. In fact, this is an interesting thing, you know. In the back of the Kaisel, meaning the part of the old city wall that faces the Kidron Valley and Har HaZeisim. So there's a gate dating from Ottoman times, dating from Islamic, Sultan Suleiman's time, who built the wall. And this is a gate that's been closed off. It's called the Shar HaZov, the Golden Gate. You know, it's not usable, but you can see the gate. And there is a Messiah that Mashiach is going to enter Yerushalayim from the Har HaZeisim, go down Nachal Kidron and up the slope, and go through the Shar HaZav onto the Har HaBayis. So you may note that there is an Arab cemetery on the little slope of the hill. The little hill going down to Nachal Kidron, there's an Arab cemetery. So legend has it, I don't know if it's true, that the Arabs built it there because the Arabs know all the Midrashim. Hawaii, we would know the Midrashim. They know all folklore. In fact, even Muhammad wanted to become Jewish. He was rejected. because Muhammad was a camel driver, and he knew a lot of Jews, and they would tell him midrashim, and he loved midrashim. He had a very imaginative mind. He loved stories. So Arabs know all these stories, all the midrashim, and they knew that 3 days before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to announce the coming of Mashiach. They also know Eliyahu HaNavi is Pinchas, who's a Kohen. So they figured, if we build a cemetery right up to the Golden Gate, Eliyahu HaNavi will not be able to walk through that cemetery. And if he will not be able to walk through that cemetery, Mashiach will not be able to come, because Mashiach can only come if Eliyahu HaNavi announces him. They take it very literal. Now, the truth of the matter is, this really makes no sense at all, because so if Mashiach can't go, in other words, Mashiach is not going to be canceled because there's a certain problem with a certain area, so he'll come somewhere else, you know, if necessary. But also, according to the halacha, at least like the Ramah, Eliyahu HaNavi will be allowed to walk through the non-Jewish cemetery because it's Kibrei Akum, and Kibrei Akum are not Metamen, B'Elia. So we do have a machlekes if we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai or not, but that's a special leniency we have for Kivrei Avim. Now,
what would be the problem of Ohel in a cemetery?
Okay, so this is exactly the issue. We have a mace that's buried in the ground. Okay? Now, if I walk through a cemetery, that doesn't make me tummy. I don't become tummy because I walk through a cemetery. But I become tummy in a cemetery if I'm either an ohel over the mace, or I'm under an ohel. So if I walk under a tree that is over me in the grave, so that's an ohel over me in the mace. If I bend over the grave, I am an ohel over the mace, and I become tummy. In other words, it doesn't make a difference how deep the mace is, meaning tuma, this is called tuma ritsutza. Tuma comes up from the ground, no matter how deep it is, and as soon as there's an ohel over it, it kind of hits the ohel, and everything under the ohel becomes tummy. Now the only exception is this. See, an ohel also blocks tuma. Let's take some simple examples. Let's say I have a mace in a building, okay? And I'm on the roof of the building. See, the roof of this building, let's say Rahman is on a mace in this room, and I'm on top of the building. Am I tamei? And let's say I'm directly over the mace. Am I tamei because I'm an ohel over the mace? So the answer is no, because since this building is an ohel does two things. An ohel spreads the tuma horizontally, so everything under the ohel is tamei. Right, so if there's a mace in this room, everything in this room is tummy. So it spreads the tuma out, but it blocks the tuma from going up. The roof of an ayel is also a blocker. So anything above the ayel is not going to become tummy. Right? This is called an ayel that's chotzeitz, meaning a room like this is an ayel that's maybe a satuma, and it's an ayel that's chaitzeitz b'fnei hatumah. Right? It does two things. But in order to be an ayel that's mevi and chotzeitz, the ayel has to at least be a tefachai, which of course this is much more than a tefachai. So here is the issue. If I have a mace that's buried in the ground, let's first talk about without a coffin. A coffin will be a problem. The mace is buried directly in the ground, and you don't have a tefach of airspace. You just have solid dirt. Then the tumah has nothing to stop it. The tumah goes up, 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 even through 100 feet. And then, as soon as there's an ayel over it, whether it's a tree, or whether it's me that I bend over it, I now become tumah.
Not if I step on it.
Well, so the question is, why would you be tumah if you stepped on it? That's a good question.
Unless I'm considered a hollow.
Right, right. That would be part of the issue. Because technically, to be an ayel, you have to have a chalal tevach. We paskin, a person's body is treated as hollow, because there's a lot of space in a person's body. Okay? Now, so if there's no coffin, then for sure, when you step on a grave, or you bend over a grave, you're going to be Tame because you are the Ohel over the Tuma. And the Tuma goes up until it's stopped by an Ohel. And Ein Achinami, the same thing would be true if there would be a tree that would cover you and the Keter. Now, the only question is, okay, so that's I understand how that works if you have a dead body that's buried in the ground. But what if you have a dead body in a coffin, let's say the way they do it in the United States? Now there, between the body and the top of the coffin, there is space. And the space is generally a tefach or more. So here's the question. The coffin itself is an ohel over the mace. And if the coffin itself is an ohel over the mace, it would block the tuma. So l'chaira, there should be no iser for me or anybody. I shouldn't become tame if I go into a cemetery, even if I lean over a coffin, etc. Because the coffin is a chalal tefach, and the chalal tefach is mafsik the tuma from going beyond, right? Just like an ohel is maybe, an ohel is also chotzes, right? Right. So the emphasis is, this is a sugi Maseches Brachos. You may recall, there's a Gemara in Maseches Brachos that says that certain chachamim said, midalgin hayinu al arenais, that when we wanted to pay kavod to a visiting king, even though we were kohanim, we would jump to get a shortcut. Let's say there's a royal procession there, and we have to get through a cemetery to meet the royal procession. It says we would jump over the coffins, likras malachim. So Rashi says, how could that be? You're making yourself tameh. How could you make yourself tameh? So Rashi says, min haTorah, the people who went over an aron did not become tameh, because rov aronos yesh lahem chalal tefach, and therefore min haTorah, the aron is chotzeis b'fnei atumah. So the people who went over the aron did not become tameh. But midrabanan it's usher, because Chazal were geizer, going over an aron, atu, a case where there's a mace without an aron. So according to Rashi, it turns out that in cemeteries where the dead bodies are buried in coffins, Jewish bodies are buried in coffins, according to Rashi, there is no tumas ayom min haTorah, because the aron is a chalal tefach. And that's what it says. And therefore, their iser of tumah was only a drabanan dike iser. Midrabanan it's iser. So for kavod malachim, for kavod abriyas, kavod amelech, they were allowed to be over a tumah drabanan. They wouldn't have been allowed to be over a tumah d'oraisa. This is Rashi Shita, which makes perfect sense, and it fits exactly the idea of a chalal tefach. However, Taisus is chaylik. Taisus says the following idea. Again, it's a little complicated to get you into the nitty-gritty of Maseches Ayalus, which is a hard Masechta. And that is the rule that an ohel is mafsik, right? An ohel is always maybe when you have a chalal tefach. Maybe meaning it spreads the tumor horizontally to everything under the roof, right? But the rule that it's chotzeis, that it blocks the tumor, only applies to ohalim that have a pesach min hatzad. So let's say a room like this. If I stand on the roof, this is not only an ohel that is maybe a satuma, it's also an ohel that is chotzeis, because this ohel has a pesach, a doorway that people use to go in and out. But if you have what is called a kever sosum, something that is sealed, although you could open it, but it's meant to be sealed, and there is no way in and out. When you have a coffin is not meant to be opened. There is no pesach to then pumfakert. This is called a kever sosum. A kever sosum is still an ayel to be maybe a satuma, but a kever sosum is not an ayel that is chaytzeitz b'fnei atumah. And the net result is, therefore, well, the tumah does go up and it's not blocked, but not only that, this is very interesting. Not only does it go up, but because it spreads, it goes up on the spread. In other words, If I stand over, let's say I stand over a keber, but I'm not standing keneged hames. Let's say the keber is 6 feet long. The coffin is 6 feet long, but the mace is only 5 feet tall. And I know I'm standing on a portion of the keber in which is not over the mace. But here's where I combine it. Since al sanayel to be maybe, the tumah spreads throughout the horizontal length of the coffin. If there's nothing that blocks it, even if I'm ma'ayel shelo keneged hames, I become tummy. So Taisus has to learn a different shot in the Gemara there. But that's the machlokas Rashi and Taisus. I mean, Rashi, which at first glance sounds perfectly good, really is a pella, because there is indeed such a din called kever sasum, which means a kever that is sealed, does have is not an ayel to be chaitis. There are many other rules as well. This idea of an ayel being a chatzitza is very, very complicated. It does not apply if the ayel itself is makabel tumma. For example, what is the problem of an airplane? Now, there are two problems Kohanim face with airplanes. Two separate problems. One is a problem of a Kohen being on an airplane that is carrying a mace. Right? This is almost 100% the problem when you're flying from New York to Israel. Because people, you know, Elal. It's really only Elal. It's only Elal has this problem. I mean, a mace is being transported to Eretz Israel. Okay? So, if I'm a Kohen, there's a problem with me being on that flight. Now, it's complicated. Elal will tell you, but Elal itself doesn't know. Elal, obviously, when you book a ticket, they don't know that in 3 weeks they're going to carry a mace. So Elal will normally have the information 2 hours before the flight. So you're already at the airport, and you may discover, if you're a Kohen, I'm not a Kohen, but if you're a Kohen, I cannot take this flight. I think without penalty, they'll book you on the next flight. They're not going to charge you for it, and the like. Now let's think it through. What is the problem of a Kohen being on a plane that has a dead body? Now the dead body is in baggage, right under you. Right, baggage is under you. Now if you're not so l'chayra, there's certainly a chalal tepach. So why doesn't that block the tumah? Answer, since the materials of the plane are themselves makabel tumah, they're metal and the like, so it's not a chaytzeitz. And because it's an ayel to be mevi, so it's ki'ilu, the tumah is nispashet, not only where the mace actually is, but it's nispashet across the entire length of the floor, so memela, the whole plane becomes an ayel now, because the tumah goes into the tumah goes from the bottom into the main cabin, and once it's in the main cabin, the roof of the cabin becomes an ayel that brings the tumah everywhere. So even if
it's not
chotzeis beyond the top of the plane, because that's right. Yes, yeah, so if there's anything above that, right? So that's the problem of the kohen on the flight. Because even though there is an ayel between you and the mace, but that ayel is not chaytzeitz because it's a dover hamakabel tumah. Now the same thing is
again. Who's
makabel?
The ceiling. I'm also makabel tumah.
No. You're not, because the chatzis is the ceiling. Now the ceiling is mechuber lekarta. In other words, if I'm standing on the roof, the ayel that's chaytzeitz is this roof. This roof is not mekabel tumah. A building is not mekabel tumah. A mechuber lekarka is not mekabel tumah, even if it's metal, because it's mechuber lekarka. A metal plane is mekabel tumah, because it's not mechuber lekarka. A metal building is not mekabel tumah. So this roof will be chotzeitz, because it's not mekabel tumah. A plane is not.
Well, what about the thing we mentioned about a person? A person is a
chal tepach,
so that stops it.
Well, yeah, but that's not going to stop it, because he's mekabel tumah. That's right. A person cannot be chotzeitz because he's mekabel tumah. So, yeah. Now, the second problem is similar, but it's a different issue. It is not the issue of the airplane having a dead body. It's the issue of the plane flying over a cemetery. Depending on the route, a plane flies over, even though it's 30,000 feet above a cemetery. and this may sound like EF should be misakin, but people have to look at the flight plans. And Al-Al actually changed a flight plan to avoid flying over a cemetery, because there you have the same issue, and that is the tumah goes straight up, even 30,000 feet, if it's not blocked by a coffin or something like that, or even if it is a coffin, it's a kever sosum. And it hits the oil, and it hits the plane, and although the plane is an oil in and of itself, but since it's makabel tumah, the tumah goes all the way into the plane, and then it's nispashing. So it would be the similar idea, that technically the plane itself is an oil, which could be chotzeitz, but it's not going to be chotzeitz because it's makabel tumah. So that's why kohanim have problems, both if there's a mace in the plane, and if they fly over a cemetery. Now, if they fly over a non-Jewish cemetery, so we could be samech on the Ramah, that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that kivrei avdei kachavim are not matam of the oil, but over a Jewish cemetery, it would taka be a big problem.
Okay.
Lechatzchila, you try to avoid it. I mean, certainly, even like the Ramah, you try to avoid it. And they'll, well, I say, change their flight plans because of this.
Like they can really, like, know to avoid, like, when you're up, when they're flying a plane, like, apparently they know.
Now, there was a Maisa, what was the Maisa that, that there was a Kohen, for the first few moments, he put himself in a plastic garbage bag. Now, literally, just zipped himself in a garbage bag, which he then took off once they're over the ocean. And I think people thought it was a terrorist. They didn't know what it was. You see a guy put himself into a bag. Now, what's the lumpness of this? I'm trying to think, why would that be good? The bag itself, the theory would be, plastic is not makabel tumah. That's the issue. Plastic is not makabel tumah. And as a result, the plastic can be an ohel to be chotzeitz. The only thing I'm thinking of is, if it's simply flat on him, it's not an ohel though. See, it has to be an ohel, so it would have to be...
Himself, his hollowness, doesn't that create the whole thing like a hollow?
In other words, would you be mitztaref the hollowness of his body as if it's a chollel of the plastic? Now again, his own body cannot be the chatzitza because he's makabel tumah, but your argument is it creates a chalal tefach for the plastic.
And I want to think,
or even his clothing. Well, his clothing is makabel tumah, that's the problem. His clothing cannot create the oil. Number one, it's not over his head. Number two, clothing is makabel tumah. But the argument would be the plastic bag is a chalal tefach of airspace because my body has a chalal tefach of airspace. And since plastic is not makabel tumah, at least if there's no metal, so if there's a zipper, there'd be a problem. But if it's a tie bag, you just tie it, plastic ties, so it's not makabel tumah, and mimela it would be chotzeitz from the tumas ayam. This would work, right? This would actually work. A plastic bag with plastic ties. And even if there's a little opening, even if you're not 100%, the MS is... the tumah only penetrates if there's a pesach a certain size, meaning even if it's not totally tight, it would still be a valid ayel to be chaytzeitz. So this was an etzah that somebody wanted to propose to actually have a plastic bag, but I think a lot of that didn't allow it. They said it scared passengers, they didn't know what it was, and whatever they said.
But it would right.
But this would work, and I think you're right. I have to go back and check the swara. I think you're right. The swara would be that since the goof of the person is a cholol tefach, some way that blanches it.
Would it help them to lay the whole bag up?
Yeah, for sure. That would even be better. That would even be better. You see, the idea of an oil is you don't need the cholol tefach between you and the tumah. Meaning, if I'm in an oil that's a cholol tefach, even if the tumah is directly under me. You see what I'm saying? In other words, you don't need to create a tefach of space between you and the tumah to block it. Like, in my case of the roof, right, there, the mace is here, and it gets blocked with that chalal tefach. Here, even if the chalal tefach is above my head, so between me and the mace, there's nothing blocking it, once I'm in an oihel, The shame Ayel prevents the tumah from entering, as long as it's not makabel tumah. So that's why the bag. That's why the bag works. No. Even like Tysus, this would work because it's not called the kever sosum because it's made to be taken off. Meaning, Tysus tainas, a coffin is not made to be opened, so it's considered as a sealed box, which is not chaitzetz. But a plastic bag over your head is made to be opened eventually, right? Otherwise you die. So that's called having a Pesach. And since it's called having a Pesach, it will be an ayel to be chaitzetz, right? Tysus tain is only a coffin because a coffin is not made to be opened, so it's kilu, it doesn't have an opening. And so that would be the cheshbon for this.
Just yeah. Curious, do you have the same thing by kedusha, like let's say by the Beis Hamikdash, right? It's makom kaddish. So if a person's in something which has chalal tefach, which is nisasum, so it's also faces the kedusha, or is it?
Yeah, could very well
so
be. Could very well be.
On the Harabai is some plastic there.
Well, it's shayach. Yes, it's shayach that is true. I mean, for example, it mentions that when they used to have workers who work in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they would be lowered in boxes, and part of it might be that made it a separate rishus in some ways. Yeah, it could be chaitzes. Yeah. There's also another problem with airplanes that there is a rule that a movable ayel is not chaitzes. Things that are moving. So that's another problem. In other words, the airplane has two issues. One is it's makabel tuma, and the other is it's ayel zoruk. It's a movable ayel. And movable ayolim are ayolim to be maybe a satuma, but they're not ayolim to be chaytzeitz, chaytzeitz b'fnei atuma. It's mesachas ayolus again. It's a complicated deal. Now, the other thing is this. The other thing is that although everything has shiurim, meaning how much of a mace is matama, etc., and particularly with atzamais, we have a chiluk between maga and masa and ayah. And that is, an etzem kisa'ira, a bone fragment the size of a barley corn, is metame b'maga v'masa. But it is not metame b'ayah. A bone fragment is not metame b'ayah. So what do you need to be metame b'ayah? So I'm not going to go through everything, Mishnah mentions everything, but just to mention the main things. A kezias of basar, a kezias of flesh, is metame b'ayel, as well as maga v'masa. An aver shalem is metame b'maga v'masa. Now, what do I mean by an aver shalem? We say there are ramach evorim, right? A male has 248 bones. So any one of those 248 bones, if it has basor, gidin, and atzamas, so let's say the joint, right, the top joint of your finger. Now that's less than a kezias basor, but as long as, you don't have a kezias of basor there, pinky, or even a newborn baby, the size of that tiny finger. But if it's an aver shalem with basor, gidin, v'atzamas, it is metame b'ayel, and you don't even need all of the basar, you just need enough basar that if it would be alive, it could regenerate from there. That's kedei lahalais arucha, right? So there's kezias basar, there is aver shalem, basar gidin v'atzamais. The third is reiva atzamais, a fourth of a kav of bone fragments, measuring a fourth of a kav, of just bone, that is metame b'ayel. The fourth is shedra or gulgalis. So if it's the skull or the spine intact, that's metame b'ayel, even if it's not a raiva, like a small child. And then we finally have something called raiv minyan, if you have most of the bones, so that's 248 are all the bones. So most of it is 125. That's called Rav Minyan, even if it's less than a Rava. or Rav Binyan is most of a person's height. So that would refer to the one whole leg and one thigh. So even though it's only four bones, that's Rav Binyan. So these are important in Yonim because even though in Etzem Kisair is Metamebi Vemaga Vemasa, but for Ayel we have the Shiurim of Raiva, of Aver Shalem, of Rav Minyan, or Rav Binyan, or Shedra Vagugaitlis, right? These are special halachas for Tumas Ayel. Now, what makes things more complicated is we now have a third hierarchy of Shiurim, and this is a Shiur of Nazir Migaleach. What does it mean, Nazir Migaleach? The Torah says, if I'm a Nazir and I become Tameh, not only do I have to count 7 days, but I have to bring a korban, Nashem Nazir Tameh. I have to be Megaleach, shave off all my hair. I lose all the days that I counted, and I got to start again. So the halacha l'Moshe Misinai is that even if a Nazir is a Tameh Mace, not all Tumas, a Nazir is Megaleach and Seisar. Meaning some Tumas, you're Tameh for 7 days, but just resume your count. You don't have to start from the beginning. So in particular, it gets complicated because when it comes to Atzamais, instead of a Raiva HaKav, a Nazir is only Megaleach if it's a Chatzi Kav. A lot of the Shiurim are doubled. A Revias of Dam is Matame B'Yayo, Revias of Dam, but for Nazir Megaleach, you need a Chatzi Lug. Okay, well, we'll go over this the next time in more Arichas. So it turns out that it's Shayach for something to be Matame B'Yayo, but a Nazir is still not Megaleach. So what does that mean? The Nazir is Tameh. And the days of Tuma don't count towards his Naziris. But it's not Seiser what he counted. He doesn't have to cut his hair and he doesn't have to start from the beginning. And he doesn't have to bring a korban. Now based on this, the Gemara in Shavuos says the following Chiddush. And then Maseches Semachai says another Chiddush. The Gemara in Shavuos says, any Tuma that a Nazir is not Migaleachan, you are not chayav for bias mikdash betumah. There is a lav in the Torah, the chayav karis in the Torah, for anyone that's nichnas to the beis hamikdash in a state of tumah. But the answer is to be chayav karis and to be chayav a karban eilav yirei. You're only chayav for tumas meis if it's a tumah shahanazir migaleach alah. If the Nazir is not Migaleach,
it's even a non-Nazir?
That's correct. Oh yeah, that's correct. I'm a non-Nazir. If I became Tameh by a Revias of Dam, and I'm Nichnas L'Mikdash, I'm not Chayiv Karis, because a Revias of Dam is not the type of Tumah that a Nazir would be Migaleach. Now, this is a very schwer rule for a very simple reason. You'll see in a moment how very, very difficult this is logically. Because Lamaisa, the din that a person is chayiv karis from being nichnas lamikdash is even if he touches a nevela, not only tumas meis, even tumas nevela. Now tumas nevela is vadai, not a tumah that a nazir is megaleachan. Right? In fact, a nazir is mutter. A nazir is mutter l'tameis b'nevela, as is a kohen. So, if I touch a nevela and I enter the mikdash, I'm chayiv karis. But if I touch a revias of dam and I enter the mikdash, I'm not chayiv karis because it's not a tumah shanazir megaleach. So Tosfos says the meaning of the rule is you're not chayiv on a tumas meis unless a nazir is megaleach. But if it's another tumah, you will be chayiv. But that's a very magnazach in svara. Why should a tumas meis that a nazir is not migaleach be more mekel than a tumas nevela? Remember, a tumas meis that a nazir is not migaleach is a tumah for 7 days. You need paraduma. Tumas nevela is only a tumas erev. You don't need paraduma. And yet you're telling me if I'm nichnas lamikdash but tumas nevela, I'm chayiv karis. But if I'm nichnas lamikdash with a tumah shein a nazir migaleach, I'm not chayiv anything. Very, very schwer, but that's the getter. That is the halacha. Okay? Now all of this so far is Gemara. The Gemara says, Beferish, you're only chayav al-bias mikdash for a tumas meisha nazir migaleach. Okay. But now we come to the final piece of this, which is a big, big chiddush, and Taisa says we don't paskin like this. This is a braisa in Maseches Semachos. Now Maseches Semachos is Vadine Avelis, that's what we call it. Semachos is Lashon Saginor, Semachos, Simchas. And now Maseches Semachos are what we call the Maseches Ketanis, right in the back of Maseches Avodah Zarah. We have Maseches, Maseches Seifrim, Maseches Semachos, Maseches Derech Eretz. It's not clear to us when these things were. Some Rishonim say they are from the Amoraim. Others say they're from the Ga'anim, although they quote many Gemaras. But it was not Masudr until the... In fact, somebody asked Rav Chaim Kanevsky, if you make a Siyam of Shas, it's not part of Daf Yomi, right? If you make a Siyam of Shas, do you have to learn the Maseches Ketanis? So he said, Mi'ikar Adin, the Maseches Ketanis are not part of Shas. But Rav Chaim said he's machmer on himself, that he learns everything that the Vilna printers put into the Shasim. So if they put Maseches Ketanis, he learns Maseches Ketanis. Okay. But Maseches Semachos is at least from the Ga'anim. It's no later than the Ga'anim. And they bring the following rule. Any tumah that a nazir is not migaleach, a kohen is not muzer. Now that's not in the Gemara. The Gemara correlates nazir migaleach to tumas mikdash. That's the Gemara's correlation. That if a nazir is not migaleach, you're not chayev kareis for bias mikdash. Maseches Semachos is machadesh. That a kohen is allowed to be metameh himself to a tumas meis she'ein hanazir migaleach. So according to this, a kohen could be metameh himself with revius of dam, you know, etc. And now again, we'll see. I mean, in terms of going into a cemetery, this is not going to help because those tumas are generally going to be nazir migaleach. But it may be nogeya kalim. For example, we paskin like this. Cheref harehu kechala. That a metal utensil, lapdafka a sword, a metal utensil that touches a mace, or is even the oil a mace, is as chomer as the mace itself. Right? In other words, if I touch a cheref that touched a mace, I'm tamei 7 days. It's like the mace itself. Instead of saying, right, the mace is avi avay satuma, and the kli is an avatuma, and if I touch it, I'm only tamei 1 day. For example, if I touch a man that touched a mace, I'm only tamei 1 day, because the man is an avatuma. But with a cherev or a kli, it becomes an avi avay satuma, and it's mitamei 7 days. Right, that's the rule called cherev is kechala. So the machlokas is a kohen allowed to touch a kli that was nitma b'meis, because it is going to make him tamei 7 days. So it's pointed out that many rishonim learn based on the sugya nazir that cheref kli matchas that are tamei b'meis, a nazir is not megaleach, and based on maseches Semachos, a tumah that a nazir is not megaleach, a kohen is not muzer. Okay, so that would be the din. Is a kohen allowed to touch kalim, which became nitzma b'meis after nevcheruv kechala, and this would depend on whether we paskin like maseches Semachos. Okay, all right, we'll stop here. Just,
okay. When that far as we know, they make the water from the ashes, right?
They do what?
They make the water.
Yeah.
Like, how can they rejuvenate the water? Like, at some point they use up all the ashes. And then, like...
No. So this is an interesting thing. You actually don't have to use up the ashes at all. Meaning, when the ashes hit the water, you first fill up the water, then you pour the ashes on the water. The water now is a kayach of tyra, so when you're mazeh, even if all you do is the water without the ashes, he becomes tahor.
And the ashes stay in the...
The ashes could theoretically stay. Now, eventually they get used up. And that's why you need new paradumas. But you don't have to take from the ashes when you're mazeh.
But let's say, I mean, the there's only going to be 10 paradumas, and they already had 9. So, like, they get one, and then, like, 1,000 years go by, you know, and everyone's trying to keep Tara. And, like,
well, it is a derech neis. You know, I mean, obviously, it is one of the nisim. But
there's no way to, like, pour water into the water and...
No. In other words, you cannot No, actually, you cannot. Through this, you cannot. This is a Mishnah. You cannot be makadesh is the process of making the water have a kayach of taira by putting in ashes. You cannot be makadesh with afer that was already used. Meaning to say, once this afer was makadesh the water,
you can't, like, scoop it out.
It cannot be makadesh other water.
It's not like mikvah where, like, you have like a 40 side.
Right, right. It's a spent. It's a spent thing. So it's only makadesh the water that was in the kli when the afer was put into the kli. So adding water later is not going
to
be kadosh. Yeah, but you rely on number one the nes, and you rely on the fact that when I'm maza, I don't have to be maza afer on you, maza water on you. But even then, you have a problem. You're going to run out of water. And actually, what I said is not a teretz, because even if you don't run out of ashes,
right,
you run out of water. And once you run out of water, you can't put new water.
Is there like a limit to how big of the water you start off with?
No, l'chari, you can use any size kli. That's a good point.
You can use the ocean, use a parlay.
Well, it has to be in a kli. And the kli has to be nismali from a spring. But the kli could be a huge kli. And then once it's kadosh, you could be mechalik into different kelim.
Right.
That's for sure. And once it's mayim kadosh, you could do a little here, you could distribute it. In fact, they used to divide the afer itself before Kiddush. They would send the afer to different places and people would be mekadesh it locally. You don't need a kohen. It doesn't have to be in the mikdash. And you don't even need a kohen. A zor could be mekadesh. So they would send the afer to Tveria and different cities and they would be mekadesh. Yeah, but you're right. My teretz is not a teretz. So using up the water will be just as bad as using up the ashes. Once I use up the water, I can't do anything with those ashes. The only ashes I can use are ashes that I didn't put in the water yet. Yep.
Okay. Well, a person, if you cut, let's say, you cut off the arm of someone.
Yes.
Is that arm, since it's coming from a live person, was it?